Sanhedrin Yerushalmi, corresponding to Sanhedrin Bavli, Daf Tezayin. We begin the Yerushalmi on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and it's four lines from the bottom with the words Piska. Ein Motziyim. Now, according to many, the text should be changed, and this whole line of Piska until the words Yoshim Ve'echad V'chule needs to be taken out and replaced with the following text. Taman Taninan, the Mishnah taught, Ein Motziyim Min Ala'ir V'Ala Hazois El Melech V'Novi V'Um V'Turim Sanhedrin shall shivim ve'echad, over shtei toidos, over shir, based in mahalchin, shtei toidos achoyim, the cholis achoyim, the pnimis, necheles achitsoina, nesrefes, the choshle nasis, the holelu, and nechnas lesham, ein chayev aleha. So the Mishnah teaches in Mesechus Shavuos, they may only add unto the city and the temple courtyards with the following present: the king, the prophet, the Urim v'Tumim, the Sanhedrin of 71 judges, two thanksgiving loaves, and with the song of the Levium. The Beis Din walk circuiting the extension, the two thanksgiving loaves are behind them, all of Yisrael are behind them. The inner one is eaten, and the outer one is burnt. If any part of this wasn't done, one who enters into that extension of the courtyard in a state of tumah would not be liable. Rebuda says, we learn from the Pesukim. Now originally, when David HaMelech bought the temple mount from Arvona HaYavusi, he built an altar and brought sacrifices there, because the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, in Perek Choftalad, Pesukim Yudches and Yudtes, and David went up according to the word of God, and this refers to requiring the king, which is David here, and the prophet, which is God. V'yachol Shlomi Levnoisis Beis Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Baha Moriya, Ashenira, Elu Urim V'Tumim. And when it says in Divrei Yomim Beis, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, and Shlomi began to build the house of Hashem, the God of Israel, on Moriya mountain, where he had appeared, this refers to the Urim V'Tumim. And then it says, LeDavid Aviu, to David his father, their Sanhedrin, that's a reference to the Sanhedrin, because the Pasuk says in Dvarim, in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Zayin, Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha, V'Kenecha V'Yom Yulach, ask your father, and he'll tell you, your elders and they will say to you, which is a reference to the Sanhedrin. Hashir, from where do we know that song is needed by the Levim? V'Yelech Achoyim, Hoshea V'Chetzi, Sari Yehuda. From the sanctification of Yerushalayim that was done in the time of Ezra, it says in Nehemiah, in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Beis, and Hoshea and half the princes of Yehuda walked after them. Toidos, from where do we know that you need thanksgiving loaves? V'amida shtei toidos gedolos v'taluchos liyamin me'alachoyma v'sha'a ashbeis. So we learn it from the Pasuk in Nehemiah, also in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and I'll place two large thanksgiving loaves with the processions to the right on the wall to the dung gate. Amr b'shmur ba'yudan, b'shmur ba'yudan says, because the Pasuk uses the word Taluchos with processions instead of Mehalchos, those going, it implies that they were taken around indirectly. Moshe, the Melech, the Novi, Aroin, Elohim, the Tumim, Osulishim, Ish, Mizikne, Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, so Rav Huna Bar Chiya, in the name of Rav, learned it that the city and the courtyards extended with the king and the prophet and all these extra things from the Torah that it says in Shmos in Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Tes, that Hashem told Moshe, according to all that I show you, the structure of the Mishkan and the structure of all of its vessels, and so shall you do. Now the phrase "and so shall you do" applies these same requirements to all generations. So the requirement for the king and prophet to be present is learned from Moshe's presence. The Urim V'Tumim is learned from Aaron, and in Bamidbar, in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tev Zayin, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Yisrael. This refers to Sanhedrin, because the Pasuk says in Dvarim, in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Zayin, ask your father and he will tell you, as we learned earlier. Hashir, now the Mishnah taught that the song is required, and Vayelech Achrei Moshe V'Chetzi Sar Yehuda, because the Pasuk says again in Nehemiah, in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Beis, and Hoshea and half the princes of Yehuda walked after them. Toidos, from where we know that thanksgiving loaves are required, V'amidu shtei toidos gedolos v'taluchos liyamin me'alachoyma l'sha'a ashba. Because the Pasuk says there in Nehemiah, in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and I'll place two large thanksgiving offerings with processions to the right upon the wall of the dung gate. Amru b'shmur bar Yudan, ma'aksiv ma'alchos l'taluchos ele b'nitolos alidei ache. As we saw earlier, b'shmur bar Yudan says, because the Pasuk uses the word taluchos with processions instead of ma'alchos, those going, it implies that they were taken around indirectly. The Gemara asks the question, Ketzah Yimahalchos, How would they walk, carrying the two Thanksgiving breads? Rabbi Rabba, Rabbi Shimon, Ba Rebbe, Chad Amma, Zu Keneged Zu, Rechona Amma, Zu Achazu. Rabbi Rabba and Rabbi Shimon, Ba Rebbe disagreed. One said that they were opposite each other, going in parallel, and one said they walked one after another. Ushnei Mikra Echad Doshim, and they both expounded it from the same posuk in Nehemiah Perak Yudbeis Posuk Lamed Ches, Vatoida Sheinith Hailechet Lamul Vani Achareah, and the second Thanksgiving offering that went opposite Lamul, and I was after it. Mandama Zukanegidzu Behu Yoshev Mimuli. According to the one who said that they were opposite each other, going in parallel, he explains it using the posuk when Balak described to Bilam the way that the nation of Yisrael were dwelling. It says in Bamidbar, in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Hey, and they are positioned opposite me. So it's the same word, Mimuli, from Lamul that we had in our Pasuk in Nehemiah. Umanda Amazua Chazu, Omalakes Roishoi, Mimul Alpoi. And the one who explained that they were followed one after the other, he explained it using the Pasuk in reference to the bird offerings in Vayikra in Perek Hey Pasuk Ches. He shall cut its head by piercing with his nail opposite the back of its head. According to the one who said that they are one after another, the first Thanksgiving offering went first and sanctified the city, and the second one that followed it therefore didn't become invalidated from being outside. According to the one who said that one followed the other, he will explain that wherever they go, the two loaves both sanctify the city. And then I'm going to ask the question. Then we say, Ezu hi apnimis, zu shesmucha lebayis, lebeistin, mandam azu keneged zu, lama. So now the question is, according to the one who said that they were one after another, the following Mishnah in Maseches Shuos, which also discusses adding to the city or to the courtyards, then fits in very well. That the inner one is eaten and the outer one is burnt. Which is the inner one? The one closer to the beistin. Because since the first one sanctifies the area, the second one, which is taken through the sanctified place between the first one and the beis din, can now be eaten. But according to the one who said that they were in parallel, because they both sanctified the city and before that the area was sanctified, both were therefore disqualified by being taken through an unsanctified place. So why could the second one then be eaten? And the Gemara answers of Yasser B'Shem of Yochan says, Api Novi Necheles. It was eaten according to the instructions of the prophets of Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, even though it would seem to be prohibited, since they ruled that even though the two were consecutive, both would sanctify extension to the city. And Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir makes a suggestion, Tanya Tamon, Novi, Yeshkan, Urim V'Tumim, Laman Yisarech. In Bavel, they taught that the Mishnah in Shavuos that seemed to say that all of the conditions are required to give sanctity is explained as follows, that if none of these conditions were done to sanctify the city, then if none of them were done, then a Tomei person would not be liable for entering the extension. But if any were done, he is liable, even though ideally all must be done. Otherwise, how could Ezra have sanctified the city when they came back from Bavel, even though it had been originally sanctified with the Urim V'Tumim, without the Urim V'Tumim, because the Urim V'Tumim were not present in the second base of Mikdash, but the sanctification was anyway valid? Ashrech Tani Reb Yudah Oimer Tzarech Urim V'Tumim. The Gemara rejects this because they found in a Braisa that Reb Yudah said that they must all be done, even the Urim V'Tumim. Say so, how could Ezra have sanctified the city without them? And the Rabbo answers, Amar Rabbo, Es Palgun, Reb Yochan Reb Shlokish Chadama, Boinim, V'Chakach Magdishim, V'Chona Amar Magdishim, V'Chakach Boinim. Rabbi Abo gives his answer that there's a machlokes between Reb Yochanan and Reb Shlokish over this. One said that in Ezra's time they first built the Beis Hamikdash and then they sanctified it, and the other one said they first sanctified and then they built. Manda Amar Boinim, V'Chakach Magdishim, Ein Royin, Es Amachitzois, Ki'ilu Hein Oilois. According to the first opinion, they did not view the walls as if they were already standing, because the sanctification made there by King David left when the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so a new sanctification was needed at the time of Ezra. But according to the other opinion that they first sanctified, meaning that there was first sanctity and then they built, the original sanctity of David never left. This opinion is followed by the one who said that all conditions, even the Urim V'Tumim, must be met in order for sanctification to occur, which was done at the time of David and Shlomo, but was not needed at the time of Ezra, because the sanctity never left. If they wish to extend the Heichel, which item would they need to do so? They need to use the two loaves that are offered on Shavuos. And the Gemara asks the question, Magdishim b'yontif, but we don't sanctify on Yontif, and to save the loaves until after Yontif will make them possible. Ela b'lechem aponim, rather, they would use the showbreads which are removed from the Shulchan on Shabbos and divided amongst the Kohanim, having been there for a week. And the Gemara asks the question, no, Magdishim b'Shabbos, do we complete the construction and sanctify on Shabbos? Ella b'Laila, rather, it's done at night, immediately after Shabbos. Magdishim b'Laila, then the Gemara asks the question, do we sanctify at night? And Rav Yosi ber Avun, b'minchas ma'afa. Rav Yosi ber Avun answers that rather they sanctified using the oven-baked mincha offering that its remains are eaten by the Kohanim in the temple courtyard. The Gemara says the question, Nicha b'al yasam in a goyla she'ikrivu v'chakach kidshu b'achnasasam la'aret b'me kidshu. It's understandable when referring to when they returned to the land after the exile in Babel, that they first made the offering and then they sanctified with its remainders. But when they first came to the land, with what did they sanctify? Yerushalayim. And Rav Yosi ber Avun, b'shtei toidos habois menoiv v'givoin. The answer, Rav Yosi ber Avun gives an answer with the two loaves that they had offered in Givoin, which was the place of the Mishkan at that time, because at that time, kodshim kalim, such as the loaves, could be eaten in any Jewish town. The loaves did not become pasul when they were transported from Givoin to Yerushalayim. However, Tosefta Abashol says there were two water pits on Har Zeisim on the Mount of Olives, the lower one near the foot of the mountain near the temple, and the upper one further up the mountain. Hatachtoina Kedushasa Gemura should say, Shuniskadsha Bekulam, Helyona in Kedushasa Gemura, Bariyasim and Agoya Lobi Melech Rebuim Betumim. That's the correct Gersa. Now, the lower one had the Kedusha of Yerushalayim as it was fully sanctified and attached to the city with a surrounding wall in the days of the first base of Mikdash. The upper one did not have Kedusha because it was only surrounded and sanctified when Ezra came from Babel, which was a time when there was no king and no Vatumim. Lefikach hatachtoina ema'aretz oichlim sham kotim kalim avaloi ma'isasheni. Therefore, at the lower one, the ignorant people would eat their Kodshim Kalim, which is the sacrifices of the lighter sanctity, but not Maisa Sheni, because they were particular to eat it in Yerushalayim proper in order to receive the blessing that Chazal expounded, that whoever is careful in separating Maisa will become wealthy. But as for the Korbonos, they didn't trouble themselves to eat them in Yerushalayim proper, and they suffice for eating them in the extended area, which is around the lower pit. The Chaverim Oichlim Sham Kodshim Kalim, U'Maisa Sheni, and the learned people who understood that this area was given the full sanctity of Yerushalayim would eat there both Kodshim Kalim and Maisa Sheni. V'Aliyona Ama'oretz Oichlim Sham Kodshim Kalim, Avaloi Maisa Sheni, V'Chaverim Ein Oichlim Sham Loi Kodshim Kalim, V'Aloi Maisa Sheni, that's the correct Gersa. At the upper one, the ignorant people would eat Kodshim Kalim, but not Maisa Sheni, and the learned people who knew that the area was not sanctified would not eat Kodshim Kalim or Maisa Sheni. And the Gemara asked, B'nei Ma Loi Kitchua, since they didn't sanctify the upper area, why did they physically surround it with a wall? The answer is otherwise the city would have been easy to conquer. And the Gemara asks, Vein oisin sanhedros leshvatim. The Mishnah earlier taught they may only make a sanhedrin for the individual tribes that are based on 71 judges. What's the source that each tribe should judge its own members? Tamuleim leshvatecha veshaftu es ha'am. The pasuk says in Dvarim in Perek Tezayim Pasuk Yud Ches, for your tribes, and they shall judge the people. Ein oisin eir nidachas, the Mishnah taught, they may also not rule that three cities are wayward cities, but they may rule about one or two. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Hoshea, Telasa Amurin, Rabbi Yochanan says there are three opinions about why the Mishnah needed to say they may rule about one or two, because it could have merely said two, and one would have been obvious. Chadama achas oisin shtayim ein oisin, one said that ideally they may only rule that one city is wayward, but if they rule on two, it would be valid. Another one said if the two cities are close to each other, they may not rule on both, but if they're distant from each other, then they may rule on both. And this is the text that's fixed up by the Korban Eidah. And V'chorona Amar, Mefuzois, Ein Oisim Kol Ika, Shema Yishmu Oivim V'yavol La'aretz Yisrael. I should say, another one said that they may not rule on cities that are distant from each other at all, but they may rule on two cities that are close to each other, because if they're distant, the enemies might hear about it and come and invade the land of Israel. And some explain that it's when two wayward cities are near each other that the enemies will notice the bald spot, so to speak, and come and invade the land of Israel.